47 past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yep.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. I hear rumors that boy genius John Crimmings has stashed another Kringle from Wisconsin, so that should be coming out momentarily.
None for right? you, pal.
Yeah, Pashman's put this stifle on my sugar intake so I don't freak out. Sometimes it's hard to admit that the person you're dating is just not that into you. God, I have not dated in a million years. I dated when I was married the first time, but not... But our next guest wrote it. It's so horrible
Such
for me to
candor.
Say. It's so horrible. I'm much better now. I've worked it all out. But our next guest wrote a best-selling book, Helping Women Come to Grips with Just That Situation. He's a stand-up comedian who also worked as a consultant on Sex and the City. His latest book is called... It's called A Breakup Because It's Broken, The Smart Girl's Breakup Buddy. It's just been released. Good morning, Greg Barrett, my friend.
Hello, buddy. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad you could make some time to do this. You were like, you're the new, the chick guru.
What I call myself, actually.
How did that happen?
So you I backed into it, right? I made a comment at lunch at Sex and the City to a girl about a relationship, and one of the other girls said, I think that's a book, and he's just not that into a book. Maybe a pamphlet, maybe. That you had out at a bar, and she said, no, it's a book, and Liz Tichillo was her name, and then we sat down and wrote this book, and like for fun, like literally, like I'm like, this will be like a book that'll be at Urban Outfitters, and no one will buy it, and I'll be able to tell my friends I wrote this pink and green book, and... No big deal.
It was huge.
And I'll go back to performing at the Baltimore Improv for 12 people, you know.
How many do you get now? 15, 20?
What's that, at the club?
Yeah,
almost 35 people will show up. 35 people.
No, it's a very exciting thing, and I'm happy for your success because I've known you for years, and in the comic community, it's weird when someone gets successful. Usually, a bunch of comics are like, "Oh, screw that guy, he sucks." But nobody said that about Greg. They're all very happy because you're a very nice guy, and you deserve all the success you're getting. Now, what I want to know is how the hell do you know this stuff? Who the hell are you to know this about?
Well, that's it. I'm not. I say in the books, I'm just a dude. All I have is my perspective. That's all the books are. Just like me going, well, if a guy's not calling you, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but he doesn't like you. Doesn't that make sense? It was all those things that, like, things that I've done, that you probably have done, things that you've done also, Mark, like things.
Many years ago.
Yeah, like stuff, like, you know, like if you just suddenly decide, you know, yeah, I'm tired, man. I'm not going to go out with you tonight. Or, you get too tired. Like, it's like, they're just excuses. So that was how that kind of came about.
Now, this new book, The Breakup Because It's Broken book, is a little different. It seems like a bigger book.
Yeah, it's got more pages and a few more pictures.
Yeah,
and it's even pinker than the last one. It's really gone girly.
But this is all, it's you and your wife wrote this book, and she couldn't be here today. She with the, how many kids you got
kids
now?
Two.
You got two little girls. Another one? How old's the second one?
6 months.
I missed something.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Okay.
True and Mighty are their names.
True and Mighty.
True and Mighty.
Nice names.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of Dear Greg stuff. Are these real letters, dude?
Yeah, some of them are, and some of them are ones that we crafted ourselves out, or took two letters put together. But it's basically that. A breakup was the most significant thing that ever happened to me. Like, I went through a breakup that was so soul-crushing, as you know, like, ended up getting sober and all that out of it. And that was so. And then I was trying to put that experience in that book saying, you can get crushed and actually turn it around and turn it for good, as opposed to, like, you know, sitting it for years and be
as opposed to turn it into contempt and make the other sex pay forever.
Yeah, not everyone has to be a stand-up.
Wow, is that the only? Are those the only two alternatives? I got to ask you, Rick, because I get a sense that a lot of certainly what the first book talks about is a direct result of guys just not having the stones to tell women where their relationship is.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then my thing is, why are we waiting for him to make a decision? Why don't you bolt then? And then he'll make a decision. Because when I met Amira, I wasn't that guy. Like, I was like, I have a plan. I'm in. Whatever you need. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm ready to at least start talking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's really ultimately true. Another guy will stay in a relationship for a long time because there's certain comforts he enjoys while scoping the field.
Well, I certainly know
comforts.
That to be true.
I wonder what kind of comforts we're talking about.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people stay in relationships because it's what you have. You know, it's working at the time.
Yep.
It may not be based on
love.
You
don't know that there's something better, so you think this is just how it is.
I tell you, I believe in love. I believe in falling in love, and I believe that love can be maintained if you're honest with the person.
Totally, and I also think that there's more than love to make a relationship work. You can love somebody, but not be on the same page.
I find that when you're really in love, that you know, usually the fights are a lot deeper and harder and more intense, and that the chaos around that love, especially if you're insecure, which makes it really exciting.
Oh my God, it's so true. Somebody said, yeah, no, that's completely true. I mean, I'm no picnic to live with, but I found somebody that like, you know, I was willing to like, okay, I'm going to work on my stuff, that kind of thing. Somebody said to me the other day, a bird and a fish can fall in love, but where are they going to live?
Yeah.
Where are they going to live? You know what I mean? So you got to sort of figure out what you're doing.
Here's how I say I love you to my wife. Usually I start it with, you don't love me.
Okay. And looking for approval. Exactly. Huh?
That's what you say to crowds sometimes.
I've gotten better. I'm a new man.
I know. I've known you mm-hmm. for a long time. Mm-hmm. You are a person interested in growth.
Yes, I am.
So you really have, like, you've made some changes.
You cannot go through the type of discomfort that I go through on a day-to-day basis, and it's self-generating discomfort without eventually saying, hey, this is unnecessary.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's sort of that's what you're trying to say in the breakup book. It's like, you don't have to stay stuck in this forever, man. You really don't. You just need to like take a couple steps and get out of it. It's very much, it's like drying out. You know, some relationships you get addicted to.
That's for sure. That is absolutely for sure. Hey, Chris, do you have any questions for Greg? Chris seems to break up with everybody, given a matter of time.
I do have a tendency of breaking up with girlfriends time after time, and then getting back with them.
So, yeah, right. That's called dumper's remorse.
Okay.
You're like, oh man, I am lonely. I don't want to spend this Sunday. Hey, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do I stop doing that?
I don't know. I guess you just wait till you meet somebody that you dig, you know? I mean, you shouldn't. Here's the thing.
My shrink said something different.
Well, let's compare notes. What did he say?
He said that I haven't found the right person and that.
I think that's what Greg
said. I just said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Also, yeah.
Different wording.
You know what the thing is of what you're doing ultimately? And I don't know you, so this is going to sound harsh, but it's kind of selfish to the other person because they're probably thinking you're psyched to get back together. And
imagine
you're just
that.
Really, and you're just looking for like a warm blanket.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine that. You're selfish. Did you know that, Chris?
I did, actually. Thank you.
See, I've been awesome. Real, real lucky in my life. I've had people, you know, that I had as sex partners. And there was never anything about that. And, you know, I mean, it was never about a relationship. Every now and then you call up, hey, you want to get together? Fine.
Nothing wrong with that either. I think just as long as it's on the table, I think all we're trying to say is, like, just be honest about it. Just go, look, this is what this is. And, you know, a lot of times.
Is that ever really real, though? I mean, I have had that in my life, Greg, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
Where you think that it's legit and everything's on the table, but all of a sudden, you know, you're having one of your little sessions and they're like, where are you going?
That's totally true. And that's because, you know what, people don't. Sex is still intimate. There's just no way around it. It's still intimate. And there's always one person in that combination that's hoping for something better, hoping that it'll turn around. Doesn't mean that it's a guy or the girl. It can go both ways.
Yeah, true.
Because definitely I was in a relationship. The one that spurred this book was, you know, the person was clear, this is just going to be sexual. And I'm like, well, no, we're going to have a relationship, and I'm actually going to start making a mixtape now. Because that's who I am. I'm in love with you, and you have another boyfriend now. And you're living in a hotel with him, and I'm calling.
That's
tragic.
That's a really crazy story in that book. I can't believe the woman moved 3,000 miles away, and you still thought that...
Called her, yeah. Well, because the thing was I had had tequila, and when you have out... Because during the day, you're so good, and then you have tequila, and you have information that has to get to them now.
And a really great story in the book is that the guy who he called at the hotel, the reception guy,
Paramount.
Yeah, he said, "Do you really want to make this call?"
That's right. He said, "Are you sure you want to?" I was so drunk, I called the Paramount Hotel. The girl that I liked was living there with a guy, and they're waiting to move into an apartment.
Yeah.
And but I figured we still had hope. And I can't even talk at this point. Like, I'm so hammered, I should have just barked. And the guy said, "Are you sure you want to make this call?" And I didn't. Like, I hung up. Like, that was like my moment of clarity. Like, I'm like, no, man, I don't want to be that guy. I've already been that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then I was thinking that would be awesome to have on the, you know, if you had that guy on your phone all the time. Like, if you're going through a birth, like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., just a guy to reroute you to pizza.
But doesn't that obsession, I mean, I have ruined relationships, man. When I was younger, I was completely obsessed, completely insecure, completely, not stalkery, but just dominating and angry and possessive. I feel that we're not done with Greg yet. We have to keep him for a couple more minutes, you know? Because I want to talk about, you bring something up about the Seven Commandments. after a breakup. I want to get into that.
Okay.
And I would like to I would like to get into obsession a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah, it's because that's a big problem. Is a lot of times love is just need all dolled up, isn't it?
It's lust and obsession at the same time. Yeah. And then but it also feels very movie like. So you want to do movie things like stand on someone's lawn or that boombox.
Oh,
in real life that guy gets arrested because it's weird and nobody likes you. Stop it.
Yeah, but it's also very vulnerable. And how many times you can do that? I really killed that guy. I killed that guy in me. Years ago, the romantic, you know, when I met the woman I'm married to now, who I'm deeply in love with, it was not a courting, it was a grilling. You know, it's like, what do you want? What's really going on here? Do you love me? I don't believe you love me. Prove to me that you love me. We're going to talk more to Greg Behrendt. He's the author of He's Just Not That Into You, and now the new book. It's called The Breakup Because It's Broken in just a few minutes. 57 past the hour. Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Blah, blah, blah.
6 past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo.
We're sitting here with Greg Behrendt, the author, co-author of He's Just Not That Into You, and now co-author of It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken. We're going to be taking some calls for him because we're having fun. Is that okay, my progressive friends, my liberal friends, my lurking conservative angry friends? Is it okay if we have a fun Tuesday morning here on Morning Sedition?
Hey, liberals have relationships.
That's what I hear. 866-303-2270. If you have questions about breaking up, it's advice time here on Morning Sedition.
That's right.
Let's do a couple of news stories before we get into that. What news stories do you want to do, Riley? How about this? We're talking about Iraq. We have the Constitution is going to be voted on Saturday.
Yeah.
Bush and company have been giving us the hard sell that a political solution could ease the violence in Iraq. It is the centerpiece of the Bush administration's Iraq policy at the moment. But what that doesn't take into mind is that no matter what this Constitution says, the Sunnis are going to be marginalized. And if the Sunnis are marginalized, there's a real good chance that the insurgency will continue forever.
Well, it's certainly for the foreseeable future, which means American troops are going to have to be there for the foreseeable future, and that is a problem. It is a political problem for the Bush administration. It's one that they have not yet figured out how to deal with.
Yeah, and also along those lines is that there's much trouble in terms of rebuilding the infrastructure in Iraq. A lot of money that was coming from the U.S. is drying up, and a lot of the contracting jobs are also being stopped or compromised because of security issues. Out of every dollar spent in Iraq on reconstruction, about a quarter goes into keeping the site safe, keeping the contractors' employees safe, keeping people from being killed, and that is, you know, elevating the cost of any reconstruction project, you know, tripling it.
Well, yeah, and you also have the specter of arrest warrants being issued for 27 members of Iyad Alawi's government. Now, Iyad Alawi was essentially installed by the U.S. They are trying to find that $1 billion that's been ripped off.
And here's something that's frightening that we haven't talked about, Riley, is that you get a city like the third largest city in Iraq, Basra. The police there are completely fractioned. There is actually a militia force within the police force called the Jamaat. And this is about 200 to 300 police officers who are basically running the city. And they are deciding what the law is, how it is, and what they want it to be. They are, you know, this is a part of a problem. These are Sunnis. These are people who are out. They're not Sunnis. I mean, they're Shiites, and they're out there killing Sunni politicians, kidnapping people, terrorizing the town, and basically aligning themselves with militias, you know, Muqtada al-Sadr's militia, and some other religious factions from the theocratic dominating government in Iran, and they are running a huge city in Iraq. So this is another problem that is not discussed.
Well, yeah, it's a big problem. It's been under the radar largely because the British have been the ones that have had, you know, taken up the security of Basra, and, you know, they tried to free these guys from a police station that was controlled by that same group of militias, and it created a riot. They had 5,000 people out in the street. Next thing you know, they're throwing stuff. People are getting hurt. And the British are blaming the Iranians for this, and America says nothing. It's amazing.
So look, you know, the Sunnis and the Shias are probably always going to be, you know, battling with each other, certainly in modern Iraq, just like men and women battle with each other.
Yeah. What a segue.
It's so true.
We are here with Greg Behrendt, whose new book, it's called The Breakup Because It's Broken. We are taking calls. 866-303-2270 is our number. If you have relationship-related questions, we'd love to hear from you. Now, as I was saying, I was never really a stalker. I would call it more a sort of a persistent charm offensive.
Yeah.
Do stalkers ever call themselves stalkers?
I love that.
I don't know. So I think
they're fans.
There you go.
Love what you do.
Yeah, I just love your work. Yeah. I love the work you're doing in your pants.
But I have, like, I think I have annoyed women into going out with me.
There's a lot of different ways to get women to go out with you, mm-hmm. but yeah, probably. But you're a good-looking guy and you're funny and you got a lot on the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
You just bring a lot to the table.
You just keep working it. So let's talk about the seven commandments of what is that? Is it post-breakup seven commandments?
Yeah, this is like we had the books divided into two halves, just the breakup, and then we did this fascinating thing. We took the word makeover and we combined it with break, and we call it a breakover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We got in the shop and welded those two together.
That's very clever.
Yeah. Basically, it's just a seven-step program to, like, get away from, you know, from this person that you're with and you need to disengage from. You know, like, immediately, we took the survey, 100% of people said, I wish I'd just gotten away from them. I just wish I hadn't stayed engaged, tried to be friends, all that kind of stuff that everybody tries to do to, like, sort of ease off. It's like trying to dry out in a bar.
It went on for years. When I was in love with a woman in college and she broke up with me, and she went on to become a lesbian for a while, and I don't think that was me. I think that was already brewing.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is I could not let it go for like 10 years.
Yeah, and it's
actually,
and you don't want to carry that around. So we just say get away from this, like, 60 days right off the top. No contact at all. We call it a he-tox.
Okay. He-tox.
How about that? Yeah, recorded phrases left and right. I can't stop.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I didn't mean to alienate you on the break. I mean, if you want to pipe in or chime in or whatever it is that you need to do, you feel free to do it because Greg is here for you and you are in the middle of reading this book.
Yeah.
Thanks. And actually, I can't do that because we share a dog.
Who?
My girlfriend and I. So I can't not see her for 60 days.
I think that, but you can keep the conversation to a minimum. Thanks for the dog. And then you walk away. Here's the dog back. Thanks for the dog. Thanks for taking care of the dog. Here's the dog's bag. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to engage. Like, people use every sort of excuse to engage.
Yeah.
But we also say, get yourself a breakup buddy, you know, which is sort of like having a sponsor, someone that, like, you know, can actually take the dog back and forth between the two of you so you don't have to. There are ways to not be in contact with people. You just have to decide whether you want to do it or not.
Who's got the dog right now, Chris?
I do. I have the dog for 6 days a week, and she has the dog for one day.
That sounds good.
You know what you do? Christmas is coming up. Buy her a dog. Guess what? Here's your new dog.
Here's your dog.
Have a nice day.
Start fresh.
There you go.
She
likes it one day a week.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems to me that we always play games with ourselves of how are we going to get back into proximity with them.
Right. Like, we do a little premeditated run-in, and, you know, I just happen to be at this coffee shop again. That's weird. Why are you doing in my shower? I used to hang out here. Where's my shower? So I wish you weren't hanging out in my shower.
Oh, man. So 866-303-2270. I guess some progressives just don't have the same problems we have. This is not important to them. They're wondering why. We're not.
They want to know.
Yeah, they're like, why aren't they hating Bush now?
We hate him.
Yeah,
we're hating him. We're hating him. The other day he had his press conference and knocked out my appearance on the Today Show. I continued to hate him.
Oh, my God.
On the West Coast.
For very personal reasons.
Yeah, you can hate him for a lot of different reasons.
So you did the Today Show three times?
Three times last week.
So you're going to sell a few books?
We might sell a few books, yeah.
Now when you do stand-up now, who comes?
Women.
I'm
like 80% women.
Are you serious?
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Do you do a show prepared for them?
No, I just do. I still do the same stand-up. In fact, I have a DVD coming out.
Yeah?
In November.
And do they respond to that? Do they get disappointed that you don't?
No. I loop it. I talk a little bit. I talk about being on Oprah a little bit. I sort of, because I did this whole set for a while called Being Uncool, which is about being a parent and all that kind of stuff. I've always talked about the relationship you have with yourself.
Yeah.
And so whatever you're doing, you have a relationship with yourself. And so I feel like the same with the books. And I loop it in a little bit. And now there's some relationship coming in because I'm enjoying telling the relationship stuff.
Yeah.
I like talking about freaking out in relationships.
Do you talk about, like, do you do a bit at the end of your stand-up and take questions?
I don't take questions at the end of my stand-up.
Yeah.
No, I'm not Jamie Kennedy. But I, What the hell does he take questions?
What would he take questions about?
I don't know. Sawyer told me he took questions. He would about his show, I guess, but I don't. But I also do.
You're an advice guy.
But yeah. I will go do like I'll go to a college and do a you know a reading of the book, or I do. I have a specific show for the book, but okay. I don't. But I just okay. do that at colleges. But when I go do stand up, it's just like you know I go do stand up.
Yeah. I got a question.
Yeah.
When you're doing stand up mm-hmm. and you look out in the audience mm-hmm. and you see that one person that's got stalker written all over them, what do you do? I mean, if you see somebody you know ahead of time is just going to follow you out of the place, you got to have, I mean, with the kind of success you're having, you got to have people that kind of want to Velcro themselves.
You know what I actually do? I'll meet people after. Like, I'll sign books. Like, I'll say, if you brought a book, I'll sign it. I'll stand afterwards and, you know, I took the Dane Cook lesson. You know, you meet people. You hang out.
The Dane Cook lesson.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, that's it. You know,
the whole time, Mark, the whole time you and I were being cynical going, I would never sell anything after a show. I'm not even going to meet people. Dane Cook was getting email addresses. Dollars.
Yeah, and Dane Cook also, you know, famous now for appropriating some of our friends' material. Uh-oh. But I don't want to gossip on the air.
No,
but
no,
nonetheless, Dane Cook is a noisemaker, and he's become very successful with a lot of people because people are entertained by loud things.
They enjoy the loud.
Yes, and also, I know what you're saying.
But he marketed.
Yeah,
he actually treated the whole thing like a business, which a lot of us are like, they'll either come see me or they won't, man.
I took that as an opportunity to go ahead and slander Dane Cook on the national radio show.
It's okay.
Yeah, because I find it contemptible. But I respect the fact that you can muster up enough self-esteem to detach yourself enough to say, I can sell this without saying, hey, you want to buy this? I hate it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what stifles you. Is like, I do a lot of things that I could sell, but I'm like, I don't really.
No, I know, but then you go to see a band and you buy everything they have.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, they have a hat.
Yeah.
Oh, they made a CD. I'm in. And they're psyched too. They're like, dude, buy my hat. You're like, I will buy your hat. And you don't feel bad about that transaction. But as a self-loathing comedian, you're like, Lenny Bruce never sold a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Lenny Bruce is dead.
Yeah,
he sells a record.
Yeah,
but he also went on Steve Allen's show and danced.
Yes, he did. Sure,
he knew how to do a soft shoe. He was a song and dance
and
man.
And he's a mimic early on, you know, before someone introduced him to sniffing glue and whatnot. That was his big bit. That was a big bit about model glue on this that really broke him on the Steve Allen show.
Yeah.
Well, look, 866-303-2270. We'll take a couple of calls and then we'll have Greg for a few more minutes after we spend a few minutes away. 17 past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Join the Morning Sedition
right now.
Call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
Twenty-one past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey,
in studio here with us now, Greg Barrett, author of "He's Just Not That Into You," and the new book is it's called "A Breakup Because It's Broken: The Smart Girl's Breakup Buddy." So you were just saying we got a couple calls. You know, I don't want to get off on another topic. Let's do these calls. 866-303-2270 is our number. Charles in Berkeley, up late. Do you have a question for Greg Barrett?
What's up, Charles?
Hey, how's it going?
Man, I'm pretty good, man. How you doing?
All right, I'm screwing around with some Photoshop 7, making some cool pictures.
Yeah.
7 and getting dirty.
Sure.
Trying to clean up my 9x9 room here in downtown Berkeley.
And you're awake.
I'm awake.
Yeah, so you got a question for Greg?
Yes, I do. In the book, do you recommend any kind of, like, signature downtime from, like, a nasty relationship where you're just fed up?
I'm going to say no to that because it's more about a breakup. You know what I mean? Like going through a breakup. Like if you're in a relationship where it's nasty, you should get out of it. I mean,
right.
You know what I mean? Like if you're in a relationship, you're unhappy, and I'm not sure why you're in it. Are you?
I was. I still have the nasty residue of
Oh, so you broke up with her?
I think he wants to know how much time does he need between relationships.
Oh, between relationships. I mean,
yeah,
it,
I'm sorry. I
was confused with what you were saying. I thought you were in a relationship. Then you know what? It's I think it's directly proportional to how long it takes you to feel good about yourself, man. Like that's the rub. It feels bad until you make yourself feel better. So you got to find things that make yourself, you know.
Well, that's what he's doing. He's sitting there at Photoshop cutting her head off of
pictures. Yeah, I mean that's
pasting them on monsters. Wait, is that what you're doing, Charles?
Trying to swoon Randy Rhodes with my beautiful pictures or something like that.
Oh yeah, well go ahead and I think that's a great direction to go in.
Getting out of the house helps every once in a while. Get out of the house once or twice a day. You know what I mean?
Don't do it, Mary.
I think that you should send her.
I love you guys. You really edify my my mornings.
Well, thanks, man.
In spite of all this talk about the end of the world. So.
That's all right. It doesn't end on the computer, you know.
Yes, it does, actually.
Charles.
With certain websites, it definitely ends, and my attention goes into this negative space of animal, you know what.
So. Yeah, sure. Well, I think what you should do is continue to make pictures, and please stalk Randy Rhodes. She invites that. Maybe
stalk
she'll give
her?
You a... Yeah, stalk her, and maybe she'll give you a job, even.
Well, you know... The beautiful thing that made me fall in love with her is just that quick wit.
Yeah.
And then when people call in and say, "Oh, I love you, Randy," and she goes, "I love you more."
Like, oh, you see, you really jacked.
Yeah. We're gonna have to be like a hot fudge sundae.
Okay, man. We're gonna have to send your little phone call up to use as a promo for her. Thanks for calling, Charles.
Thanks, Charles.
He's obsessed. Barbie in New York, listening to WLIB. You have a question for Greg?
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, good. What's up? What's on your mind?
Well, after 5 years, I just got a phone call yesterday from my boyfriend who said that he was finally over me.
So this is 5 years since you broke up with him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It takes people. I mean, imagine carrying that around for 5 years. And how did you feel about that when he told you?
Well, I was fine. I mean, feel, you know, I wish the best for him.
Right. You were fine like 2 months before you broke up with him. Because, you know, people leave in the relationship and then they're gone, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that people don't understand about, like, when someone breaks up with you, they don't want to hear from you. Like, you know how, like, you want to call them? When your number comes up on their phone, they're like, ugh. Like, that's their thought. Like, the fact that you're calling someone and their actual thought is, like, as they're looking across at their new date, yikes, did I take this or do I let it go to voicemail? Because this is 35 voicemails.
Yes, exactly.
And you know what? The fact that he had to call you 5 years later to tell you that he's over you means he's still got another two.
Yeah.
I don't think he's over.
Yeah. That's what my friend said when I said, my best friend, I said, well, you know, I that's really nice of him. He apologized for being a jerk, and I said, you know, he said that he's finally over me, and she's like, no, he isn't.
Yeah, no, he'll call you a couple months ago. Okay, now I'm actually over you. Before I was finally, but now I'm actually finally over you.
Right?
How'd you respond to that? I mean, what did you say when he said that? Was he crying? Did he just sort of like, I just wanted to let you know that? Was he angry? Was he on your lawn?
No. I told him, what possessed you to call me after all this time, and he said, well, this is going to sound crazy. And he tells me he's over me, and I literally did a homer. I went, don't!
Thanks we got to cut out, Barbie. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Greg Barrett, best of luck with It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken, the Smart Girls Breakup, buddy. I'll see you out on the coast when I come out there. Did you have fun?
It was awesome. It was great. Your show's awesome.
Thanks for coming. It was great.
We are having Michael Imperioli is going to be on the phone. I see Brian from Everett is actually on the phone. If he has his song, you know, tell him to hold on. If he doesn't, I don't want to talk to him. So it's 27 past the hour. Greg Barrett, where are you going now? Back to San Francisco?
San Francisco, yeah, book signing.
Okay, coming up, Michael Imperioli on the phone and more stuff. I mean, it's Cliff Notes is coming up. It's a fun Tuesday. Is that all right with you people? 27 past Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.